In many parts of the world, there are dangerous places that you can be in. The fact is that no matter where you are, even in Wisconsin, you can find dangerous places that you can be in. And why is there danger in the world? Why are there troublesome times? The green light is on. Maybe it's malfunctioning. I'm not sure. Why are there these dangerous, troublesome times? Now, we've been looking at the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And one of the maybe overriding characteristics of the Beatitudes is the selflessness that is required to see these things implemented in one's life. We even see the example of Christ, who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." So you think of perilous times, you think of troublesome times, you think of hard times, of dangerous times. And in verse number 2, it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Why? You know, one of the most dangerous places to be, in a sense, is around a selfish person. You know, a selfish home environment is a dangerous place to raise children. When you feed the selfish nature of children. There was a lady who wrote into an advice columnist, found this at familyeducation.com, I believe is the website. And anyway, she said, "Okay, I admit it. Somewhere I made a huge parenting mistake. I always tried to put my kids first and give in to their every little whim. I guess I wanted to make sure they were happy and had great self-esteem. Well, my plan backfired big time. I now have two selfish sons who think they rule the world. Is it too late to change their behavior? Help." William Gladstone stated, "Selfishness is the greatest curse of the human race." We live in a day and age in which selfishness is becoming even more prevalent. We have a segment of our society that wants to dictate to the rest of society what things should be like. We have the homosexual agenda. You know, they want to dictate to everyone else pretty much how things should be run. Selfishness is a dangerous thing, but yet many times selfishness characterizes our own lives. And the Bible says, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Loving yourself, selfishness, is a great danger. And tonight, do we understand the danger of selfishness? In Isaiah chapter 14, we have really the prime example of selfishness in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 14, we find one who was in love with himself. Isaiah 14:12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Notice the impact he had on others. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And yes, we see a great example of pride here. Well, but we also see a great example of selfishness. We should say it really a terrible example of selfishness. And the two go together, pride and selfishness. And we need to remind ourselves that acting selfishly really is following in the footsteps of the one who rebelled against God. And the Word of God says, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And you might be wondering, are we going to the Beatitudes or are we not going to the Beatitudes? Well, we're actually taking a break tonight from the Beatitudes, but I think in a sense it fits in. Because the Beatitudes are all about allowing Christ to rule and reign in our lives and what takes place when He is reigning in our lives. When He is reigning, what is going to take place? But when self gets on the throne of our hearts, what's going to take place? It's going to be perilous times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And really, and these other attributes are of characteristics of the last times, in a sense, seem to flow right out of selfishness. Notice it says covetous. And the word here is literally basically a lover of money. You know, what's one of the chief political issues of the day? What's driving the elections? Money. You know, you would wish it would be morality. You would wish the things that really matter would really start driving the elections. But it seems that, you know, politicians are really trying to push those issues to the back burner. While they're still important with a segment of society, money is what in many ways is driving what takes place. Why are there so many lawyers in society today? You know, what's driving the frenzy over lawsuits? Well, it's money. You know, if the person, you know, if somebody gets hurt, they may not be necessarily thinking about suing somebody. And if they're not thinking of suing somebody, they might have, you know, lawyers calling them up, you know, asking them, telling them, hey, they'll donate their time so they can get all sorts of money from this person. And we have a frenzy because we, you know, many in the law industry, so to speak, because people love money. And the love of money is the root of all evil. What's one of the number one issues in many marriages today that breaks them apart? Money. You know, it's supposed to be until death do us part, but there's the phrase, you know, until debt do us part. Unfortunately, money has become a major issue in many marriages today and in many homes. And the most important thing is to be financially ahead in life. What can be a great issue in many in which church they attend? Well, which one's not going to talk about money? You know, don't preach on money too much because people don't like it. Well, why is it? Because we're lovers of ourselves. Because we're lovers of money, we're covetous. Talks about boasters. You know, one who thinks so highly of himself that he's willing to express that to those around him. You know, how many of us like being around people that are boasting about how great they are? And boasters and proud really go right together. One who is proud is one who is above everyone else. At least in his mind, he is above everyone else. You know, you may think, well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Well, what is that? It's pride. It's putting yourself above them. You know, maybe you're a young person. They don't deserve for me to share with them. You know, they don't deserve my attention. And you have a problem looking at other people, authorities, in the eyes. And you don't understand that many times that can be a problem of pride. They don't deserve for me to look at them in the eye. One of the reasons you don't look people in the eye is because you have an inflated self-conception of yourself. And it's the sign of the last days in which we live. Later on in verse 4, it says, heady, high-minded. You know, parents in our homes, we need to be so careful that we are not allowing the last days to affect what is happening. Boy, make that child look at you in the eyes. Don't let them look off to the side, you know, look down, look away. It's only allowing that selfish pride characteristic of the last day to continue in their heart. You know, maybe one has the idea, well, you haven't earned my obedience. What is that? Well, that's pride. You aren't going to get my service. You haven't earned, you know, my respect. Pride. Then it says blasphemers. It's boasters, proud, blasphemers. You know, we live in a day of irreverence towards God. You know, those that are willing to speak out against God. Those that are willing to act as if God doesn't exist. Generally speaking, we have an issue, an epidemic of those that are unafraid to speak evil of authorities or to have disrespect towards authorities. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, we have this word used. 2 Peter 2, it's used in verse 11, but it says in verse number 10, it says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. Notice that. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing, there's the blasphemous word, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. Now here we have people that are unafraid to speak against or about authority, but yet even the angels are careful about what they're going to say before the Lord. We must recognize the day and age in which we live and the effect that it can have upon our lives. We live in a day of disrespect. We live in a day of irreverence towards the things of God. You know, if one went into the military, you know, and the general came by, you know, and they just kind of, you know, sat there like this, stood there like this, or the captain or the person in charge came by, I don't think that's going to fly very well. I remember Captain Golginski telling me about one time he was in training or something, and someone told him to go get him, I believe it was a cup of coffee. And he came back with a cup of coffee, and I think he had to do a bunch of push-ups because I think the man said he didn't get it fast enough. Well, I don't think Aaron was going to start arguing with the person, or, you know, you just have to learn to do it. You have to learn to submit to authority. You don't bring things against them. You know, but yet, we are raising a generation of slouchers who can't sit up in church, who can't open their mouth to praise God, who only look at an authority if they want to or are made to. We live in a generation that are, through their actions, showing irreverence to God. You know, what are we seeking to do? Are we allowing the last days to permeate our lives, to permeate our families? We understand if you were in the military, you better sit up. You know, you better stand up. You better listen. You better listen to what's being said. But yet we have one in far greater authority that many times we show a much inferior realm of respect. A day of blasphemers. You know, young people who would rather make a joke out of Sunday school and school rather than taking it seriously. Why? Because they are lovers of themselves. And then it says blasphemers. It says disobedience to parents. You know, Romans chapter 1 and verse 30 also makes the same statement about disobedient to parents. Let me just read some of those verses there in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse number 28. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents." Boy, that disobedient to parents does not come in a good list of things. You know, we view disobedience as really not that big of a sin because so many people do it. It's such a prevalent thing that it's really not that big of an issue to us. But yet notice the company that disobedient to parents has. It's not a very good company in Scripture. You know, in the Old Testament, being disobedient to parents, one who would not submit themselves, one who was going to persist in their rebellion, faced a great and grave punishment. Do we recognize the seriousness of the sin? Why? Because disobedient to parents really shows one's view towards authority in general and shows one's view really reflects how they are going to follow the one who is in ultimate authority over their lives, and that is the God of heaven. Really, it probably also shows their attitude towards other authority in their life. You know, one day that child's going to be a parent. You know what? Even though they're a parent, they're still going to have authorities over their lives. You know, they're still going to have policemen. They're still going to have government officials. Disobedient to parents. I think it was S.M. Davis said, you know, there are three ways that one should obey: immediately, sweetly, and completely. It ought to be right away, not when the child feels like doing it. It ought to be done sweetly with the correct attitude. You know, if your child obeys, but they do it with the wrong attitude, well, they're really not properly obeying. And then completely. Many times people don't obey because they aren't listening. You know, it's amazing how a child's ear can be tuned to what they want to hear. In Proverbs chapter 2, it talks about how we need to have our ears inclined unto wisdom. Then we will understand the fear of the Lord. You know, children, what are your ears in tune to? You know, I did a little maybe experiment at our house. You know, telling somebody something to do. I think I might have said something about, I didn't say it real loud, I said it fairly soft, but something about taking out the garbage. You know, then I said something about, let's go to Culver's. Well, I might have said maybe going to Culver's just a touch louder, but it was pretty close to the same volume. And boy, Culver's was heard right away. Culver's was heard pretty instantly. I got a response, but the garbage, I didn't get a response on that one. You know, and then I did the same experiment again. Well, and actually, I think I said, I can't remember what I said. Maybe I said garbage again. And then I said something about going to Culver's. Well, they caught, again, when I said Culver's, boy, the person heard. You know, and then they realized kind of what I had done, and then the garbage, actually, what I had said about taking out the garbage or doing something else popped into their mind because I think they're already in tune to the illustration. So what it actually even showed is they actually heard the information, but if I wouldn't have said anything, you know, they already kind of tuned in, I think, to my experiment. And then they're, oh, yeah, and you said something about the garbage after I mentioned Culver's, and they immediately responded. But it's amazing how we are tuned in to what we want to hear. What is it? It shows we're lovers of our own selves. And there was an experiment done, and it said it was something to the effect one of the aspects of the experiment was there's lower response times are associated with more selfish choices. And I don't know if I'm interpreting the experiment correctly, but it's amazing how we can respond quickly when it's something that our selfish nature is going to enjoy. You know, we can make decisions very quickly. You know, children can obey great when you tell them, you know, to do something fun, to do something that they enjoy doing. Boy, we can have an automatic response. We need to understand this selfishness and how the last days this selfishness just permeates society. So we find disobedient to parents, but then we have unthankful. You know, we live in a generation of people that say, I deserve. Or at least they think that in their minds, or they act out, I deserve maybe a new pair of tennis shoes, or I deserve a cell phone. You know, I deserve maybe a better lunch. You know, I deserve for my dishes to be washed for me, or I deserve someone to take me to school. You know, how often do you say thank you, boy, that your parents brought you to school, or do you just think you deserve it? How often, young person, you tell your mom or dad, thank you for that lunch? And you say, well, I had to pack it myself. Well, did you pay for the food? You know, or somebody reminds you of what you're supposed to do, and you don't get in trouble because they reminded you. Are you thankful? The reason you aren't thankful is because you are in love with yourself. We need to understand that the last days is a time characterized by people that are unthankful. There is no gratitude shown for what has been given. You know, we have so many young people probably go away from God. Why? Because they're not thankful. How we need thankfulness to be characteristic of our lives. It talks about unholy. A lack of separation from the world. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God wanted Israel to be a unique people. He wanted them to be separate from the nations around him. And he commands us as believers to be obedient children. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves. Being holy is being separate. You know, are we willing to obey God in those areas that he has commanded us to be separate from the world? Or are we going to be affected by the attitudes of our day, maybe the new evangelical or evangelical type attitudes of our day, that it doesn't really matter that much? You know, it's interesting. What is the remedy for some of this? Well, verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And what's maybe interesting about that verse is that, you know, some of these things is not just, so to speak, boy, people that have no profession of religion. But here it says, having a form of godliness, there's maybe a profession of godliness, but there's what? It says, but denying the power thereof. It says, from such turn away. Separate yourself from it. You know, young person, when you come across another young person with the wrong attitude, what's your response? Is it to join up with them? Or is it to turn away from it? Well, the person might feel bad if I turn away from them. Well, they ought to feel bad. The Bible says, from such, turn away. Why? Well, one of the reasons is they influence people. Notice verse number 6. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Stay away from these people. They're leading others astray. Make sure you don't get caught up with it. Notice the bad effect that they can have on others. So there is a separation. One of the remedies to this kind of living is to separate from it. But as we see, boy, some of these characteristics, if they're popping up in our own lives, what do we need to take place in our lives? Well, I think one of the answers in our own lives is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. Second Corinthians 3:18, but it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You know, what are we looking at in life? What is influencing us to become who we are? Well, it ought to be the Spirit of God. You know, we need to be looking into the law of God. We need to be looking into the perfect law of liberty and allowing that to be reflected in our lives rather than being influenced by the last days and the characteristics of the day and age in which we live. We need to turn from those things. And we need to get our lives grounded upon the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to change us into the same image from glory to glory. It says, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, but the problem is some of us are grieving God. You know, we're allowing things into our lives that are going to grieve Him. And you know what? That change that He wants to produce in our lives is not going to take place like it ought. Maybe you're quenching the Spirit of God. But the Bible says, "But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image." And there ought to be that sanctifying work that the Spirit of God wants to work in us as we submit ourselves to the Word of God. In James chapter 1, I'd like you to turn there, and we are almost finished here, and we'll be heading on to prayer time. James chapter 1 and verse number 19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Swift to hear, denial of ourself, slow to speak. You know, young person, what's the first reaction out of your mouth when your parents say something? Is it slow to hear? I mean, swift to hear, slow to speak, or is it slow to hear, swift to speak? When your teacher corrects you about something, is it swift to hear, slow to speak, or is it slow to hear, swift to speak? When parents, when adults, when the word of God speaks to our hearts, are we swift to hear and slow to speak? And it says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." We need to be careful. Just as Moses got angry and his wrath did not create the righteousness of God, we must be careful. It says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." You know, we live in a day and age that wants to influence us. And if we don't separate from it, if we don't lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and allow the Word of God to direct our lives, we are going to be caught up in the dangerous times in which we live, and it's going to pull our families right into the peril and danger that we're facing. I wonder this evening, do you see any of those characteristics beginning to creep into your family? They're dangerous. They're perilous. We need to turn away from them and rather allow the Word of God to change our lives, to allow the Spirit of God to use His Word to bring about the change that is necessary. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that You would help us in these last days, Lord, to not be influenced by the world around us, Lord, in which we, Lord, come in contact with. But Lord, may we be influenced by Your Word, and may there be great contact with the Word of God in our lives. Lord, may You give parents the wisdom and discernment to see, Lord, these characteristics, Lord, if they're in their children, and be able to root them out, Lord, so that we can have families that are built on the Word of God, so that we do not fall into the trap of the dangerous times in which we live. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.